Good morning. Today is Thursday, November the 18th, 1 week before Thanksgiving. Joining us this morning in his Paisley, Fred Van Fleck. Good morning.
Just for clarification, it is only a Paisley tie. I wouldn't want to mislead our listening audience.
Sock check.
No, they're pretty plain today.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Nothing super fancy. Good morning.
Howdy. You brought somebody by. What
I did.
What is this all about?
So I brought Gary Stortz with me. Gary is the new Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services for Eureka City Schools, former superintendent of South Bay Union School District.
What is a Assistant Superintendent of Educational Services, Gary? What the heck do you do?
He doesn't know yet. I didn't tell him that before he started.
Right now, drinking through the fire hose, learning all the amazing systems at ECS, but essentially in charge of student learning.
Oh, okay, curriculum.
Curriculum.
Gotcha, stuff. Okay. don't go into too deep on this stuff. I get lost, man. And Fred, what was that other thing that you said?
So part of this transition is we are now sharing services with South Bay Union School District. And so I am, as a part of that sharing of services, the superintendent of Eureka City Schools and the superintendent of South Bay Union School District.
Was that voted on?
By the board.
Both boards?
Correct. Both boards have approved this. And
so they can do that without a general vote?
That's correct. Yeah, there's a couple ways districts can merger, and this isn't a merger. I want to be real clear about that. Right now, it is simply a sharing of services. They are two separate districts.
Ah, there you go. All right. So since we're getting into particulars, are you ready for your question?
I don't know, Gary. You ready for your question?
Did he tell you about the question?
Nope.
Let's go. Fire away. Ever wonder why?
Yes.
Here we go.
A series of totally unrelated questions that Fred has totally bombed on since the year. Has it been a year?
I think
a full year that we've been doing this.
Actually, this would be 11 of 12, and I'm 11 for 12, I think.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Wrong.
Yeah. Why is something referred to as the whole nine yards?
Oh, I would have a guess as to why that is.
Well, this whole thing has been a guess, so yeah. don't let that hold you back.
Well, it's got to have something to do with football. And, first down is on the 10th yard.
Not even close. Gary, you want to take a shot? Think more manly than football.
I had an agricultural farming kind of a feel here, but okay. That's about as far as I can get.
Rugby?
No. In this case, the whole nine yards are the nine cubic yards of cement that certain rotating cement mixer trucks can carry. If one wanted to take a delivery of all of the cement on the truck, he or she would ask for...
Well, here's the problem.
No,
the whole nine yards.
But
all those people out there driving a concrete truck right now understand that a concrete truck holds 10 yards and even 10.5 yards, not 9 yards.
Today, the expression means all of anything. They don't use cattle or oxen to haul it either anymore.
Right. Well, think about this. 10 yards in a concrete truck. We just poured the foundation of the gymnasium. 650.
Trucks?
650 yards.
We saw the forms last week.
Yeah, so they're right now. So that was the foundation. Now they're doing the forms for the flat work for the concrete for the slab that everything will sit on. They're going to try to do that in one.
And you get the office in the basement under the slab. Was that part of the deal?
That's where probably many people would like my office to be, but not me. No.
Did he tell you anything about our style here?
I'm picking up on
it. Yeah, good, good, okay.
But Brian, I listen to Talk Shop. Why is it only me? I just don't understand.
Oh, yeah,
only you.
Other people come in with guns on their hips. They get a different treatment when they're here. So sharing of services, that sounds like it's along the trail for potential merger down the road rather than economies of scale.
So
a little bit of both?
I would say that's possible. It's something that the boards are open to exploring, but we're not ready to commit to that yet. This is about seeing how this works, seeing how the staffs like it, seeing how the styles of the two districts work, how they mesh together. Right now we are committed to sharing services through June of 2022. So the remainder of this school year. And then the board will make a decision what we want to do, probably come around April or so, if they want to hire a superintendent or if they want to continue to share services or to continue to explore this idea of a potential merging of the two school districts.
So my reading of this, Gary, is that, okay, you left, surprise, and rather than being left in the lurch, this is a bridge.
Did I
kind of nail it?
You're absolutely accurate. From the school board's perspective, they wanted to make sure that South Bay was able to maintain some of the positive momentum that we had created over the last many years. And, you know, this provided us an opportunity not only to kind of continue with that positive momentum, but also look at some of the resources that ECS has to offer. Being in a small school district, you know, we wear many hats in a small school district, and being able to get some individualized expertise was something that the school board was interested to explore.
And that relationship is different than what you'd had with the county office of ed.
Definitely.
Yeah, not many of us are inside the bottle here. Most of us are looking through the glass inside and seeing what's going on.
Sure.
Yeah. You like that analogy, Fred?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yes.
I thought you might appreciate that one. Yeah, so South Bay, how large is the student body in the school district?
Approximately 500 students.
Okay. So it's certainly easy capacity to be able to work with it, because it's not a quadrupling of the student body or a 50% increase in the amount of workload that the existing staff at Eureka City Schools would
have to work with. Yeah, South Bay's not a behemoth, you know, but then we also have a natural flow into Winship and Zane Middle School and then Eureka High School. So
It's a feeder school.
Absolutely.
I guess almost by definition, or by functionality, certainly. So why'd you say yes?
I was really excited to have the opportunity to learn and expand my skill set at South Bay as a principal superintendent and then a superintendent. You are one of many hats, and I was anxious and excited to get to work with Fred and the team at ECS. They've got a great group of leaders over there, and they've got really positive things happening in their schools.
Longer commute or shorter commute?
Just about the same, actually.
All right, fair enough. KINS, News and Information, time is 8:19.
Join Warren Eckstein on KINS in the 6 o'clock hour as he explains pet behaviors, different fun facts, tips, and all sorts of info about your animals and the way they think and act.
Here are just some of the things that kids learn when they have pets in their life.
If you're an animal lover, this is absolutely the program you need to hear.
You know, vocalizations are a very important part of animal communication and their language. Hi, this is Warren Eckstein. Hear my daily pet tip weekdays on KINS FM.
Good morning. KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with the new VP. I'm going to call you a VP instead of an assistant super.
Okay.
It kind of makes him feel a little uncomfortable. You know, anybody else that has got superintendent in his title? Fred Van Fleck and Gary Storts. Gary, the concept of the new job, are you looking just to maintain the inertia that was there, or have you been given a little bit of latitude to go, you know what, if we did a little tweak here and we did a little something over here, and from the perspective of our school and the small guys, we did this and it worked out. Is there that flexibility? Do you sense? I mean, once you get over the initial, oh, my God, moments.
Right.
No pressure on this answer, Gary, to say.
Yeah. Well, I figured this is better than just doing those anonymous emails that have been sent out in the past.
Right. No, right now my aim is to go around and really make sure that I'm talking to the principals and listening. I've been on the job 3 days, day four right now. Had a wonderful site visit out to Grant Elementary.
When's the street light going in? Do you know?
The street light?
Yeah, on F Street. They're putting the that was a measure, was it Z, I think?
Oh, the traffic light. Traffic light, got it.
Whoa.
Got it. You said street light, and I think street light, like a light.
Oh, street light. I didn't say stoplight, sorry.
Yes, okay. So now I'm with you. I can, you know.
Good. Okay. And?
Yes, F Street and Oak right there. I know it's been funded. I don't know what the time frame is on that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so definitely. The one thing I will say, though, is I want to trade around to what Gary said a little bit. The nice thing about both South Bay and Eureka City Schools is neither of them are broken districts. And so our task right now is to continue to carry the torch forward with all the good work that both school districts are doing, regardless of if the school districts come together or stay separate. We still have a lot of work we need to do because we have not arrived. It certainly is nowhere near perfect, but we are on the right direction to improve student learning. And right now it's incredibly difficult with the social emotional health of the students, and they're just now starting to normalize being back in school all day, every day for full day instruction. And you think about that for a second, and everyone talks about how that's hard on students. It's hard on teachers too, because they had the whole year where they were sitting.
Oh, don't forget the other leg on your milk stool, dude.
Parents.
Oh, yeah. All right. Now.
Oh, no. Okay. Parents are loving that the students are back in school because it frees them up
to go to work.
Exactly.
Oh, my gosh.
Exactly. Yes. So, I mean, there's a lot of different things. We're happy that we're poised to continue on. I know we had a little hiccup in Southern Humboldt this week with an outbreak down there, and they closed the high school and the middle school down for the remainder of this week. Knock on wood, so far we haven't seen anything like that in Eureka City Schools. It's gotten us anywhere close.
But just to be safe, you're going to shut down next week?
Yeah, we'll shut down for the week next week, yeah.
I still don't get Thanksgiving week.
Well, actually, you know why it is? Is because...
Yeah, I know why it is. It's ADA funding.
You're exactly right. You have a two-day school week, nobody comes to school.
Ding, ding, ding. Yeah. Wait, what do you mean 2 days work?
Because
there's a three-day.
When
we were going to school.
Most of the school districts have taken Wednesday off to give a travel day to go to Thanksgiving because so many people were missing that day anyways. But here's the bottom line. It doesn't matter how you slice the pie. It's 180 days. 180 days is 180
exactly.
days, depending on where you take it. So it's not like since we take off the 3 days before Thanksgiving that students have anything different than 180 days. It's just added on in a different place.
We enjoy this repartee. Now, from the public sector, that makes sense. From the private sector, not most of us get a week off. Okay, so now we've got kids at home for 2 or 3 days without mom or dad there, and we have to either make arrangements for babysitting, or we have to take days off,
so,
or the kids kind of fly free.
You want to know my answer to that one?
Wah.
We have so many. No, not at all. We have so many openings in education right now. I encourage those parents to consider a career in education, because we'll hire them, and they can follow the same schedule as their students.
Even if they just have practical experience in life rather than a teaching degree or a
college
degree?
Absolutely. We have a ton of support staff, and we have openings right now. I'll tell you what, if anybody wants to drive a bus, you can make a good salary driving a bus and driving school kids, and we are so short. We'll train you to drive a school bus. Hey, Winston, what do you think?
No.
Are you up for it? Can
what
I recruit in here?
How many parents line up to drive 4 kids at a time in their vehicle, let alone 30 or 40?
Okay, so can I be off the record while the mic's live?
Sure, wink, wink.
Yeah. So off the record, I can't – bus drivers, I have so much I can't even say how much respect I have for them, because as a teacher, you're working with 30 kids in front of you. As a bus driver, you're working with 50 kids behind you, and it's difficult. And that's why it's hard to find bus drivers to come in and do it. So just a tremendous amount of respect out to the bus drivers and those folks that are out there doing that work, because some of these kids can't get to school without the bus transportation, and it's a severe shortage across the nation.
You'd think that it wouldn't be – is it part-time? I mean, is that – part of it, or is it a full-time position?
No, we're pasting jobs together to make it full-time, to make it more attractive, so you get full benefits, the full retirement, everything. So if you want to come drive a bus, we'll put a full-time job together for you.
What do you do in the middle of the day when the buses aren't being used?
Work with students. You can be in the classroom as an aide. You can.
So you're not driving all day? It's not
correct.
You know, the eight-hour...
Yep. Well, sometimes you'll drive all day because we'll pull them out of those jobs when we do field trips or sports trips or some of those sorts of things.
Sports. I heard Winston's question of the day.
I didn't hear it this morning. What is the question of the day?
You didn't. Go ahead, Winston. Read it out before we hit the break.
Both Arcata and St. Bernard's are in the semifinals. Have you been following their season?
Oh,
I figure being an Arcata alum, that would be something that you would have been interested in.
It's time for a break, right?
KINS News and Information Time. It's 8.
Something big.
Okay, it's a nice ride.
It's going to happen.
Stand by playback.
And now.
Live. Meet Radio.
I keep forgetting I'm president.
This is the Lars Larson Show.
And these kids who come, they become Americans before a lot of Americans become Americans.
Now, here's your host, Lars Larson.
Hey there, it's Lars Larson. Join me for the Lars Larson Show, weeknights 10 to midnight. Honestly provocative talk radio on KINS.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck and Gary Stortz from Eureka City Schools. Guys, we talked a little bit about the gym earlier on. Is it on schedule? Is it, you know, with all the inflation pressures that are going on, is it already budget-wise upside down and looking sideways at you? With all this inflation that we've been hearing, I know the bids come in and they're fixed, but you don't want to be putting people out of business either to do your project.
Right. Well, the bid for the gym project came in at almost double what our original budget was for it, and so it's way over budget. We're just thankful that we were able to, through matching funds from the state, to match our local funds and really managing our construction programs, able to afford to make this happen because our community...
Could you afford it today instead of 2 years ago?
With the
escalators? Because,
well, here's the interesting thing is the price of materials is softening a little bit right now.
So it's offsetting the labor?
Yeah, and well, I don't think it's offsetting the labor because the price of labor is just going to go through the roof. California just did their preliminary projections as gearing up for the governor's January budget proposal, and they're talking about a 5% COLA potentially for this upcoming year in the budget. And remember, the budget year is July 1 through June 30th. And this year they had what's called a super COLA where they funded last year's COLA and this year's COLA together, which was a 5% for schools and then some. And so if you talk 2 years in a row of 5+% COLAs, what that's going to do is just continue to drive the labor prices up in schools because a lot of that goes to labor to offset the COLA that everyone's feeling in their personal finances. And so labor is just going to continue to go up. And so and on a project like this, prevailing wage and labor is truly the driver of price. It's not so much the materials, even though materials
is that fixed
are out of sight,
or does that fluctuate?
It fluctuates. But it's fixed, and there's a whole without spending a lot of time on it. There's a whole process on how prevailing labor rates go and when they go up and when they go down. But they certainly do. Well, they don't go down, but they certainly do go up, and they certainly do change those. So we're pretty locked in.
You still want the job, Gary?
I'm in.
Yes. Both now, feet in the deep end. Okay.
The second question you asked is the gym on schedule to be done? Our completion date is still on schedule, but they're running about 30 days behind. We had some compaction issues in the very beginning. They had to do a little bit more excavation and compaction.
What was there originally? Or they just run into old logs and stuff?
No, it's parking lot. But what the issue was, was the moisture level. And the moisture level was too high to get the 90% compaction that we needed, so they had to get the soil out.
A creek or something in there?
No, what happens is under the parking lots, this is real common, the asphalt seals it, and so none of the moisture can ever get up and out, so the moisture remains pretty high. And so...
The pool of...
Right. Timing-wise, we timed it perfectly because we were drying soil in late August and September before the rains, and we just hit it perfectly that we could get it dried, re-in-place, recompacted up to that 90% compaction rate. And then
Is like what your parents did, dig a hole and fill it up?
You got it. Yep.
Same soil. Just had to pull it out and let it dry out and then put it back in?
Exactly, yep. And compact the heck out of it. So 90%
you feel like you got even with your folks?
No. They used
to pass that on to somebody?
They used to tell me to go pound sand, not soil.
Oh, I see.
You know how, here's the irony of South Bay. That is a school district that my mom was in for 42 years.
Right.
As a teacher, as an assistant principal, as a superintendent, and then back as interim principal. And so it's kind of interesting, kind of a homecoming for me. Gary's been in the district for 21 years. And so
homecoming for you, recurring nightmare for them.
All right. I mean, if you want to out that, it could be potentially true, yes. You know, I already got the question. So all those stories your mom told about you years and years ago, are they true? I was real quiet.
I think they, aren't they, like, in the file that's in the cabinet that's in the office that you just kind of have as a resource?
It's a big file.
Yes. Yeah. So the gym's coming along. You're feeling pretty comfortable with that? The football field and the progress there? Is there any demonstrable change there, or is it still just sitting on somebody's desk waiting for authorization to start the project?
Division of State Architect, yep, that's where it's going, and waiting for their approval. It's going in two stages. The first stage is the site work, which is all the culvert stuff, the field work.
Infrastructure.
Yep, and then the second stage is the buildings. And so those are in design right now, and the buildings being the snack bar building, restrooms, the second team room, the modernization of the existing team room, the modernization of the press box, the ramp that goes up to that.
So everything on the one side of the football field, is it going to be full structure the whole way across from Del Norte back to the access point from the gym?
So the snack bar restroom building will be close to Del Norte there. And then on the other side of the field where the scoreboard is where the new team room will be.
Okay, so there'll still be spaces in between the structures.
Correct.
Yep. Rather than one big edifice.
That's correct. And then the existing team room will be modernized, so there'll be two team rooms on that end of the field. And so those people that have played football there, remember the visiting team usually has to go up the hill to the locker room. We'll have accommodations where we can have a team room for both teams down there during the games to meet at halftime.
Does track and field use that facility also?
Absolutely.
Not the track. I meant the locker
room. Team rooms.
Yeah.
The team rooms are seasonal. Soccer uses them. Track and field uses them. Baseball uses them. Softball uses them.
So it's not like Texas.
No. No. Yeah, no. The football coach does not make more than the superintendent. That's Texas.
Yet. KINS, news and information time. It's 8:43.
Hey, folks. Flying local is buying local. And with three airlines serving five destinations, Humboldt County has more choices than ever. Fly on American, Avelo, or United Airlines. We have service to Denver, Hollywood Burbank, LAX, Phoenix, and San Francisco airports. Now's the time to book and save on that getaway. Or have friends and family fly to visit the beautiful Redwood Coast. For more information, go to flyhumboldt.org. Fly Humboldt, more flights to more destinations.
Good morning. KINS, news and information time. It's 8:47. We're back talking shop this morning with Fred Van Fleck and Gary Stortz. Fred, we talked a little bit about the gym. You'd also allowed before the show that there's a little bit of a challenge going on with the basketball season this year. I kind of have a little bit more interest in that area than in some of the other sports. What's going on there?
Yeah, so it's been really interesting on how California Department of Public Health has responded and placed their rules out on how basketball works. Outdoor sports, it's much easier to not mask outdoors because there's not a mask mandate outdoors right now. It's only recommended. But indoor sports, it is still required unless there's a choking hazard. And so the indoor sports like volleyball had to wear a mask. Indoor sports like wrestling, no mask required because it's considered a choking hazard. Now we're gearing up to start basketball, and the stance of California Department of Public Health has been indoor sport, students and officials need to be masked. Officials have come out and said pretty much across the state, definitely here in our area, and there's a shortage of them, that if you require us to mask, we will not officiate. And the rationale behind that is, how do you blow a whistle with a mask on? It's almost impossible. And so they're not doing that from a political standpoint or something like that. It's a practicality standpoint of being able to do that. And so the league actually met yesterday and discussed options to do this. And another concern is capacity on gyms, because anything over 1,000 folks there is considered, I forget the exact term, mega event or and if it's over that size.
But we can do that if it's professional sports. That's okay.
Because most of them are outdoors. But if it's indoors, It's you're supposed to show proof of vaccination in order to get in.
I don't think the Warriors play outside.
Do you have to show proof of vaccination to get in there?
I don't know.
I don't know the answer to that either. I assume so, because what I've been told is anything over 1,000, you have to show proof of vaccination. And so one of the things we're doing to mitigate that is...
So that would make it relatively simple then.
Right.
But you have the area for the cards, and you have the area for the people that don't or haven't.
Well, no, if there's over 1,000 people, there is no...
What's the capacity in the old gym?
About 1,800, 1,700.
And what's the most you've had there in the last 5 years?
Oh, when you put the whole student body in there.
Well, no, no. I'm talking about for a basketball game.
Oh, no. We don't hit that capacity.
Yeah. I mean, you just, you know, like they had the fire marshal, old days, used to have the fire marshal out there click, click, clicking.
And that's pretty
much. Click, click, click. At 990, you stop.
It sounds like we're going to do half capacities. And
okay, I guess that's about it.
Huh? And it's about the right number, and then we don't have to deal with the vaccination cards. But going back to the athletes.
But for the kids.
The basketball, what it sounds like is going to happen, because there's some discrepancy in the directive coming out from California Department of Public Health, it sounds like there's a chance that they may be departing from that and allowing students to be unmasked and allowing officials to be unmasked with 3 times per week testing. So it's likely that we're going to go down that road. Fans will still have to be masked.
Wait a minute, they only play twice a week, right? Typically, Tuesday, Thursday, Wednesday, Friday?
Unless it's a tournament or something like that.
But they got to do an extra day also?
That's correct. They'll have to test 3 times per week to just make uber sure that none of the students are COVID positive. Because
do they have to wear masks?
I don't know the answer to that one yet. I would doubt it if they're testing 3 times per week. I think that'll be part of the process.
So do you have to do that for all kids? I mean, you're in the classroom settings.
No. No. Those students are masked, though. We require masks 100% indoors. And we have now what's called a modified quarantine. And so if we have a student who comes in who's positive, and we identify, because we have seating charts, students that had more than 15 minutes of contact with that person within 6 feet, they go on a modified quarantine. If you're vaccinated, you just self-monitor symptoms. If you're not vaccinated, you have to be tested 2 times per week. And
test the full test or just the thing on the forehead to check temperature?
No, the full test. There's the antigen test and the PCR test. The antigen test is the instant test. The PCR test is the delayed test. We use the antigen instant test for the students that are on modified quarantine, so we know immediately if they test positive. And then if they test positive, we have to do the PCR test to verify the antigen testing to make sure that it's accurate. And then we contact trace. But knock on wood, so far, the secondary infections inside of the classroom just have been very slim. There's been hardly any.
You're an educator, right?
Yes, but I'm also a doctor. Unfortunately, not that kind of doctor, though.
Stupid. You could have just been PH instead of the D, you know.
Well, as my life.
No, as your life, yes.
Yes, both are true.
Yes.
She likes to refer to me as just Dur.
Okay. That works.
Yep. Uh-huh.
Or road, depending on... circumstances, huh? Oh boy, you sure you want to stay with this job?
I think so.
Okay. Oh, it'll be interesting. So, cement's getting thrown down. We don't know about basketball yet, and budget's going to be under some duress because of the payroll costs.
Yeah,
does that kind of sum the show up?
Yeah, no, I actually don't think budget's going to be under duress in the short term.
Well, okay, next year is what I was thinking. Mm-hmm.
I think we'll be pretty good next year, too, with this COLA coming in.
Governor's got all this extra money, huh?
That's the way it's sounding right now.
Oh, boy.
These are times unlike I've ever seen.
Hold on to your wallets, folks. See you tomorrow.